Officials of the Philippines' top medical supplier this pandemic, allegedly wanted for crimes in Taiwan. We'll talk to Senator Risa Ontiveros about her revelations. The fighting Senator Manny Pacquiao says he feels vindicated following the Commission on Audit's report on alleged misuse of pandemic response funds by the Health Department. Meanwhile, Senator Pacquiao says he is not open to running for vice president next year to avoid a face-off with President Duterte. And we'll speak with Chairman of the Metro Manila Development Authority, Benher Avalos, on the proposed three-week hard lockdown on specific COVID-19 hotspots. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Thanks for joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. We begin with an expose by a Philippine senator on the country's top medical supplier this pandemic. Senator Risa Ontiveros says top officials of the controversial, formerly pharmaceutical corporation are wanted for securities fraud, stock manipulation, and embezzlement in Taiwan. Ontiveros says arrest warrants are out for formerly Chairman Tony Huang and his son, Wang Suyen. She says Taiwanese authorities have been looking for Wang Suyen since December last year. Despite this, Ontiveros says the Philippine government bought supplies from Pharmaly as recently as of June this year. Pharmaly bagged some 8.68 billion pesos worth of deals for pandemic response supplies last year.
Kaya nang sumagot si dating Yusek Chris Lau na hindi daw nila ginawa ang kanilang due diligence, nakakadismaya. Kaunting Google lang ay mayroon namang makikitang kalinawan na ang mag-amang Huang Wenye at Huang Tsuyen ay parehong tinatakasan ang batas. Why did we even deal with these shady individuals and companies?
Ontiveros adds Sheng Bingqiang, a close associate of President Rodrigo Duterte's former economic advisor Michael Yang, also wanted for stock manipulation. Bingqiang owned stocks in Pharmaly Corporation.
So, si Michael Yang pala na pinapakinggan di umano ni Presidente pagdating sa mga desisyon na dapat ay magbabangon sa ating ekonomiya ay kasabwat ng isang taong tinutugis ng mga otoridad sa ibang bansa. Zheng Bingqiang had already met the president in 2015 when he was still mayor, just as he was finalizing his presidential run. It was also in 2015 that the now president toured the Fulwin offices in Xiamen with Michael Yang in 2015. Naniniwala akong singaw pa lamang itong mga naaamoy natin ngayon. Malaking issue ang overpriced PPEs, pero may nabubuong mas mabahong kwento sa likod ng lahat ng ito.
As corruption allegations against the Philippine Health Department mount, the fighting senator Manny Pacquiao says he feels vindicated. See, it was Pacquiao who earlier floated alleged anomalies in the health department, even before state auditors flagged the agency's COVID-19 spending.
Yung mga sinasabi ko ay hindi watusi, kundi malaki pong issue ito at 67.3 billion. Malaking halaga po yan. Hindi lang po yan. May mga agency pa po na sangkot po sa anomalia at corruption. Mayroon pa rin mga ebidensya tayo na isiwalat din natin pagdating ng panahon. Hindi lamang sa DOH. Hindi ko nga po alam bakit nagagalit sa akin ang Pangulo na ang pagkakaalam ko ayaw niya ng corruption.
Pacquiao also calls on President Duterte to stop attacking the Senate whenever it bears anomalies with links to his allies.
Dapat po ang ating Pangulo, hindi po siya masyadong defensive sa kanyang mga tao na gumagawa ng kalokohan. At lalong na itong korupsyon, dahil yan po ay talagang ayaw na ayaw ng sambayan ng Pilipino yung korupsyon na yan. Dahil sa korupsyon tayo ay naghihirap. Ginagawa lang namin ang tungkulin namin para tanungin lahat ng possible na marinig namin in aid of legislation para ma-introduce doon sa mga kinaukulan yung dapat kasuhan at ipakulong.
Health workers groups continue to hold demonstrations demanding government to release their long overdue COVID-19 benefits. The Secretary General of Filipino Nurses United, Jocelyn Andamo, says majority of them have yet to receive their special risk allowance and other benefits. She says those who received their SRAs were paid only around 227 pesos per day. Health workers who don't come into direct contact with COVID-19 patients were not compensated at all. The group also slamming COVID-19 Task Force Advisor Dr. Ted Herbosa for criticizing them.
We are extremely exhausted. We have sacrificed so much during this pandemic. I think he has no right to judge us and accuse us of something that is not that is baseless. This is what is best is we have to fight for our rights, because what we're doing is not only for ourselves but also to make sure that we can continue to serve our people.
All right, back to our top story today. For more on her expose on formerly, we are now joined by Senator Risa Ontivero. Senator, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me, Carmina.
All right, so your expose revealing that government has been transacting with fugitives. Let me ask you first, did you even have to dig deep to arrive at the information that you shared with the public today?
Hardly, Carmina, and this was the shocking thing. Readily available sila online sa internet. Yung mga information, yung mga article na in Chinese language, madali namang isalin, no, through different apps. So it's all the more shocking yung admission ni dating DBM USEC o PSDBM OIC Lau that they did not exercise due diligence. Dahil ang simpleng netizen and then yung opisina ko ay nakuha namin itong mga impormasyon. We found these articles, Carmina, online. So this was grave and gross negligence of duty on their part not to exercise that due diligence.
Yeah, when you talk about due diligence, though, the reasoning behind why they did not do that is the pandemic. Do you think that that's a good enough reason that we're in the middle of the pandemic and therefore due diligence must be thrown out the window, Senator?
Not at all. All the more due diligence must be observed, must be done. Kasi pandemic funds ito, limited enough for the great, great needs of our people. So paano tayo umabot sa ganito? That they awarded a multi-billion peso contract to a company that it turns out now is part of a circle of individuals with standing warrants of arrest in their own home country, is part of a group of companies that people may raise questions about in terms of influence peddling, as it were. Which was the recipient of a very valuable contract at the time that there were Filipino manufacturers of these products meeting the standards and offering them at lower price. So due diligence is all the more needed in a time of pandemic.
Two things, Senator. There's not doing due diligence and avoiding to conduct due diligence. Which of the two was present based on your investigation in this situation?
Well, it looks more and more probable na hindi lang yung inamin ni dating USEC Lau na they did not do or they failed to do due diligence. Mas magiging probable yung talagang sadya nilang hindi nila alam, Carmina, ha? They knew these important bits of information na to any reasonable person, lalo na sa isang responsible government official, should have disqualified these persons, these corporations, from transacting with the Philippine government. So habang we are connecting the dots, it looks more and more like they deliberately ignored what to them was already common knowledge in order to consummate these deals. Let's also remember that at around the same time that they were awarding these contracts, they were saying that the pandemic was under control. Tapos ganyan yung excuse. So kung at that time medyo lumuwag na yung pandemya, then even their very lame argument about due diligence, it should have been more doable for them. Pero hindi pa rin. And this is the largest contract we know of so far about PPEs and awarded apparently to undeserving parties. And refresh your memory once again, Senator, how many transactions did the government have with Formerly Pharmaceutical?
Well, just in those 2 months of April and May last year, 2020, PSDBM procured supplies through 11 contracts, almost all but one, this ostensibly Filipino company, Formerly Pharmaceuticals. They were contracted out to mostly Chinese companies. Ito lang yung solong di umanong Pilipinong kumpanya, but it turns out it's the affiliate of a foreign company, Formerly International, and the amount of the contract was a whopping 3.8 billion pesos.
And after that first contract, throughout those 11 contracts within that time period, there could have been a chance, if they wanted to conduct due diligence.
Yes, well, they should have even before awarding the contracts. Ang masakit pa, after awarding this biggest 3.8 billion pesos worth contract to Formerly, in the interim between last year and this year, particularly the month of June 2021, lumabas na, Carmina, yung warrant of arrest for these dubious characters. And yet, nasa documents, nasa records ng PSDBM that they awarded at least another contract to Formerly Pharmaceuticals just in June of this year. So mula noon hanggang ngayon, shut out talaga yung mga local companies natin. Local companies that were willing and able and probably would have followed the law in receiving such contracts and providing such supplies. So why the favor to these unsavory characters, ika nga?
Do you think, Senator, that all these could not have happened or could have happened without the participation or the presence of Michael Yang?
Well, it seems more and more, Carmina, na he was a best actor in these goings on, in these transactions. Kasi andito siya eh, dito sa Formerly companies, both international and Philippine, at pati dun sa Full Win companies, international and Philippines. And at add to that, nung mga panahong iyon, siya yung inappoint na presidential advisor on economic affairs. Andun siya sa RTVM video, readily accessible on YouTube. Kumbaga kung may interlocking directorates among these different companies, and he is one of those personalities that keeps popping up, mukhang dito rin sa bits of evidence that we are able to gather over the past several weeks, including during the Senate Blue Ribbon Committee hearings, siya yung kumbaga common factor. Siya yung common factor. So he really should show up at the Blue Ribbon Committee hearing next week.
But the president says, in defense of Michael Yang, he's been a businessman for 20 years, and he believes in the capability of Michael Yang. Your thoughts on that?
Well, he certainly seems to be capable, pero what is he capable of? And the president should know also, there are businessmen and there are businessmen. And sabi pa ni presidente, gusto niya ng investors. Sino ba namang hindi? Pero anong klaseng mga investors, Carmina? And what kind of investments? Do we want our government to be transacting with people who are charged with embezzlement, with stock manipulation, mga estafador sa sarili nilang bansa, who have standing warrants of arrest in their name from the law enforcement authorities in their country? Ganun ba yung klaseng di umano investment at mga investors na gusto nating i-attract dito sa ating bansa? At saka, kung wala talaga siyang tinatago, no, magpakita siya. Eh, at huwag matakot, no, si Mr. Michael Yang. At huwag din matakot si Presidente para sa kanyang kaibigan. Because, you know, someone who has nothing to hide should have no trouble appearing before the Senate Blue Ribbon Committee.
Senator, before you ended your press conference, just a few minutes ago, you did point that to the fact that there may be a bigger story behind this.
Yes.
What is that bigger story? What is it still that's lurking behind all these revelations pertaining to these characters, Senator?
Well, it's bad enough, Carmina, na meron tayong na-unearth na overpriced PPEs in the middle of a pandemic and when the Filipino people are so cash-strapped family-wise and as a nation. Pero baka yung mas malaking kwento pa, kasi lalong lumalawak at tumitindi yung baho nitong mukhang graft and corruption na ito, ay yung pinag-iisipan na rin ng ating mga kababayan. Meron bang utang na loob na binabayaran dito? Anong utang na loob ito? Anong utang ito? Paan ito binabayaran? I mean, the president himself a few days ago mentioned bayad utang. So, teka muna, what's the currency here? Kasi ang may-ari ng lahat ng resources na iyan ay ang mamamayang Pilipino and who are in dire need of the proper use of these resources in the middle of the pandemic. Pag lumabas na may pagbabayad ng utang na loob in this sordid fashion, nako Carmina, lalabas nito ay profiting from this national tragedy. Hindi lang yan krimen, yan ay kasalanan. Kung pati pandemya ay pinagkakakitaan.
Senator, I do want to go back to the Blue Ribbon Committee hearing, which you did mention a while ago. We all heard the privileged speech of Senator Bongo yesterday. I want to get your thoughts on that. And how is this going to affect the next hearing that's going to resume, I think, September 7th, Senator?
That's right. Well, Carmina, Senate Blue Ribbon Committee Chair Dick set the tone very correctly by way of response. Sabi niya, let's keep our eye on the ball. Let's keep our focus on the issues. Huwag tayong padistract ni sa atake ni Presidente sa mga investigasyon ng Senado, ni sa, of course, privileged speech ng aming colleague. And I will certainly maintain the same disposition as our committee chairman and as most of my colleagues. Ang importante dito, magawa ng Senado, magawa ng komite, ang aming mandato to exercise oversight over the proper and maximal, optimal use of scarce funds, especially in the middle of a literally life-threatening pandemic. There should be no place and space within a pandemic for this kind of apparent graft and corruption, gross negligence, also what Senate Minority Leader San Frank called premeditated blunder. And we will get to the bottom of this. At umaasa ako, Carmina, maglalabas kami ng malalakas na rekomendasyon tungkol dito.
Yeah, and Senator Bongo is a member of the Senate Blue Ribbon
yes.
Committee, right? So he could yes. very well ask also questions pertaining to corruption, graft and corruption, and all those that they're fighting against as well.
Certainly, certainly. He affirmed his own commitment against corruption. So walang harang na lumahok siya sa Senate Blue Ribbon Committee hearing. And in any case, kung ano pa man, I am convinced that our committee chairman will pursue this hearing to its logical conclusion. At gayon din kaming lahat na ibang mga miyembro. At yung mga sinabi ko rin, Carmina, kaninang umaga sa aking press con, i-re-raise ko rin. At sana nandyan si Mr. Michael Yang para sagutin. I-re-raise ko rin po sa susunod na hearing.
Senator Ontiveros, this is not your first rodeo. Do you feel the pressure now coming from the palace? And also, I'm going to be blunt, through the person of your colleague, Senator Bongo.
Well, hindi naman ito unang beses na nagbanta si Presidente laban sa isang institusyon. The Senate is not new to this and we've proven our capacity to stay on our feet. Recently, dumepensa din kami sa isang constitutional body natin, ang COA, which the President practically told not to do their job, told the citizens not to pay attention to their reports. Inismol din ni Presidente yung mga investigasyon namin. He made some noises about instructing the members of his cabinet to not attend our committee hearings henceforth. Wag naman ganon, Carmina, no? Kami sa Senado, we fully intend to do our duty. We expect na yung mga kasama namin sa gobyerno, sa executive, will also not display such contemptible behavior. Dahil ang isang imbitasyon, ang isang subpoena mula sa Blue Ribbon Committee ay imbitasyon sa aming lahat, kami sa legislature, sila sa executive, to do our duty. So wag tayong patitinag kanino man. Wag tayong patinag sa isang Michael Young o sa isang Farmally. Wag din tayo patinag kay Presidente.
You just said a while ago you're appealing to your colleagues at the executive not to display contemptible behavior if they do appear before the Senate Blue Ribbon Committee hearing. That's a big if. You know what the president said, Senator Risa? He's saying he may just order his cabinet members not to attend or not to participate in the hearing. Very reminiscent of EO 464 of then President Gloria Macapagal Arroyo. Your thoughts on that?
Well, established na yung limitations ng executive privilege, pati yung korte natin nagsalita na doon. So the president would be well-minded at yung mga cabinet officials nila would be well-minded to honor any invitation from the Blue Ribbon Committee. Kung hindi sila magpakita, Carmina, that would be contempt. Pero kung paunlakan nila, then they are minding well the court's ruling on the limitations of executive privilege, and they would really be doing not just our committee, not just the Senate as an institution, co-equal sa kanila, pero they would really be doing their duty towards the people. Na galit na, Carmina, kasi hirap na hirap na nga sa pandemic, sa recession, makarinig pa ng ganitong mga balita, no? Not just of non-due diligence, but more and more apparently as the days go by, apparent graft and corruption, maybe even plunder, gross negligence, and more. So wag po nilang lalong galitin ang ating mga kababayan, Carmina.
We're going to have to leave it at that. Senator Risa Ontiveros, as always, thank you for joining us today. Take care and keep safe.
Take care. Stay healthy.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Moving on with the rest of the news today, Health Undersecretary Leopoldo Vega admits out of the 526,000 health workers eligible to receive COVID-19 benefits, over 120,000 of them have yet to receive their special risk allowance. Vega says they have already requested for more funds from the budget department. He is also urging hospitals to make sure the list of beneficiaries is complete to avoid further delays.
We know for a fact that there were some who were left out by the hospitals that were supposed to be eligible but were not in the master list from the different private and public hospitals given to the region. DOH regional centers must be able to implement as efficiently with the private institutions, but they have to pass through a MOA because the public funds cannot be given directly to private and also to the local government units.
The Health Department and State Insurer PhilHealth briefing the House Committee on Health on their proposed budget for year 2022. Our correspondent RG Cruz now joins us for the latest. RG, go ahead.
Hi, Carmina. Good afternoon. The Duterte administration apparently cut the Department of Health's proposed $104 billion budget for 2022 for COVID-19 vaccination to just 45 billion pesos. Health Secretary Francisco Duque admitted this during the budget briefing of his agency before the House Committee on Health. This came out during the interpellation of Marikina 2nd District Stella Quimbo. It was the health secretary who said that he was made to understand by the DDM that this will be for the booster doses when the 45 billion was lodged under the unprogrammed funds. Of course, for those of you who are not familiar with the budgeting system of the Philippines, the unprogrammed fund in the budget refers to items that will only be implemented or released if the government is able to raise funds for that specific purpose. So ibig sabihin, wala pa talagang pondo yan. So during the succeeding interpellation, Undersecretary Mario Villaverde explained that it was the recommendation of the DBM that the 104 billion be cut to 45 and just be put under the unprogrammed funds. But it was Representative Kimbo who pointed out that upon her own inquiries, the DBM already said that it was the DOH who recommended this. So there's apparently some sort of finger pointing going on between the agencies. And of course, the budget briefing is still ongoing. We'll give you more details as they come.
All right. Archie, as you said, the budget briefing still ongoing. Talking to your sources there, talking to those who will scrutinize the budget. What are they looking for exactly as they scrutinize the health department's budget?
There really is, Congresswoman Helen Tan, the chairperson of the committee, set the tone at the beginning of the hearing when she said that it is the war chest of the government against the pandemic. So that is really the focus of the budget briefing. And in fact, the briefing began at 9:30 this morning, and since then, they have not taken up any topic in the health sector that is not related to COVID-19, to the COVID-19 pandemic. So all of the questions of the lawmakers so far is really covers different aspects of the pandemic. So we'll see more later on as things develop, and depending on the answers of the participants of the agencies concerned to the questions of the lawmakers. I just have to point out, Carmina, that this is not just the only budget briefing of the DOH in the House of Representatives this week. They will be coming back tomorrow to the House Appropriations Committee budget briefing for the Department of Health. The Health Committee is really just exercising its power of oversight. The Appropriations Committee is the one who actually approves the budget. So you can expect very lengthy deliberations today and also tomorrow.
All right. Of course, this is all because of the controversy now that the health department and also state insurer PhilHealth have found themselves in during this time of the pandemic. Our correspondent RG Cruz there joining us via Zoom. Thanks, RG. Take care. Keep safe. Right. In other news now, Senator Manny Pacquiao not yet ready to make peace with Energy Secretary Cusi. Pacquiao and Cusi, head of the factions in the ruling party PDP-Laban, the two sides are batting for different standard bearers for the upcoming elections. The senator says he would rather focus on pressing issues facing the country than deal with the party's issues.
I'm not ready for that. Marami pa tayong consideration ngayon, yung problema natin sa ating bansa, hindi pa natin na-resolve. Importante ma-resolve natin, masolusyonan natin yung problema. At saka yung anuman yung political career na yan, partido na yan, problema, madaling pag-usapan yan kung pagdating ng panahon.
As for his political plans, the boxing legend is ruling out a vice presidential run to avoid a face-off with the Cusi faction's nominee, President Rodrigo Duterte. Pacquiao says he does not regret supporting Duterte, but he also says the chief executive has his flaws.
Tatlo pong consideration po na pwede kong desisyonan. Pagtakbo ng pagkapangulo, pagtakbo ng senador, or malis na sa politika. Maganda naman din yung pong ginawa ng Pangulo pagdating sa war on drugs. Medyo nakatulong din. Pero marami nga lang namatay na mga maliliit na tao. Pwede naman sanang hindi. At marami pong mga pangako ang ating Pangulo na hindi nangyayari. At yan, sinasabi kong totoo, ayaw ko maging plastikan.
Voter registration will now be allowed in areas that are under modified enhanced community quarantine. ABS-CBN correspondent Ina Reformina now joins us with details. Ina, go ahead.
Yes, Carmina, with 29 days remaining until the September 30 deadline for voter registration, the Comelec Unbank approved today the conduct of voter registration in areas under Modified Enhanced Community Quarantine, or MECQ, beginning September 6. COMELEC spokesman, Director James Jimenez, said registration will be from 8 a.m. up to 5 p.m. in MECQ areas. Other details will be announced shortly, including what days will be covered by this decision. Satellite registration in malls in MECQ areas will also be allowed. Now, for the information of our viewers, COMELEC has an existing partnership with three major mall chains for the conduct of mall voter registration nationwide. Walk-in registrants are allowed at the malls, but are advised to print and accomplish the voter registration application forms ahead of time so they don't linger at the malls for their own safety, and also to accommodate more registrants. For areas under general community quarantine and MGCQ, voter registration is still on Mondays through Fridays, 8 a.m. up to 7 p.m., and from 8 a.m. up to 5 p.m. on Saturdays and holidays. It may be recalled, Carmina, that former COMELEC commissioner and DigiVote convener, Attorney Gregorio Larrazabal, wrote COMELEC to request for MECQ voter registration due to days lost to lockdown. Prior to today's approval, COMELEC policy was to allow voter registration only in GCQ and MGCQ areas, citing IATF prohibitions. Last August 25, Commissioner Marlon Casquejo told ANC The Rundown that COMELEC earlier sought an exemption from the IATF. He said, quote, "That was a long time ago. It is not clear whether the IATF finally approved the request, or the COMELEC has now decided to assert its authority over election matters." Now, as to pending request for an extension of the registration deadline, Commissioner Rowena Guanzon tweeted this morning, and I quote, "COMELEC cannot extend." So it's still at September 30. That is the voter registration where it stands today. Labor group Defend Jobs Philippines appealed for a one-month extension, while over 45 youth groups led by Akbayan Youth sought an extension up to January, citing the Voters Registration Act, which bars continuing registration beginning 120 days before a regular election. Now, just to remind all qualified voters out there, the September 30 deadline applies to both in-country voting, or those who will be voting here in the Philippines on May 9, 2022, and overseas voting, or those who will be voting abroad. Also, in light of the pandemic, COMELEC allows online reactivation of delisted voters, such as those who failed to vote in two consecutive polls, provided they have complete biometrics data. For this, even the interview and taking of oath will be done virtually. So 100% reactivation virtually. There'll be no need to personally go to the COMELEC local office or satellite registration site. That is our latest Halalan 2022 news update. Ina Raformina, ABS-CBN News. Casey?
Thanks a lot, Ina. Thanks. Thanks, Ina, for joining us this afternoon. Take care. Keep safe. From there, we're going to take a break now. Up ahead, we'll get the reaction of Metropolitan Manila Development Authority Chairman Benher Avalos. We're going to talk about the proposed three-week hard lockdown on COVID-19 hotspots. Dateline Philippines will be right back. Stay with us here on ANC. We're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. Officials of the Philippines stopped medical supplier this pandemic, allegedly wanted for crimes in Taiwan. We'll talk to Senator. We actually spoke with Senator Risa Ontiveros about her revelation, so stay tuned to our succeeding newscast for more on that. In the meantime,
And we're back. You're still watching Dateline Philippines here on ANCOA. Apologize for that technical glitch. You know how it is these days. In the meantime, Philippine health officials and experts say the worst is yet to come, given the number of new COVID-19 infections in the country. See, on Tuesday, an additional 13,827 new cases were recorded, bringing the nationwide tally to nearly 2 million. The fresh cases are relatively fewer than Monday's record-breaking 22,300 cases. But the health department says this is likely due to the lower laboratory outputs over the weekend.
It's not yet out of control. And the numbers in the NCR is fairly, I would say it's fairly in control if we can show that the cases will start decreasing in 2 weeks. Right now, the concern is that the cases in Calabarzon and parts of Central Luzon, not the entire Calabarzon, but parts of it, that's where the concern is, because the situation is, I wouldn't say it's becoming unmanageable in some of these areas, but they would really need more vaccines there, and they would really need to be able to control the number of cases in those regions. Because even if we're able to heal Metro Manila, even if we start to see a downward trend, if these surrounding regions are not yet, controlled completely, then it may pose problems.
Despite the surge in COVID-19 infections, a research group believes the situation in the Philippines is not completely out of control. Father Nicanor Ostriaco from the Octor Research Group says hospital occupancy rates are still lower than they were during the March to April surge. He adds, cities now have significantly more isolation and quarantine facilities. Ostriaco, though, is worried the country's healthcare workers are already too tired.
The government has said, the NCR is not going to be subject to ECQ at this time. They have pointed to the previous ECQ and they said, well, mobility has never, we have not been able to restrict mobility to the levels that we could. They're hoping that the vaccinations, my concern, of course, is the healthcare workers are going to be so exhausted, they will ask for a lockdown. They will ask for a return. They will ask for a timeout. They'll just be wiped out. They're so exhausted. They've been doing this for a month already, and then for another month we're predicting high levels of ICU care for a month now. The
Philippine Trade Department wants more businesses reopened in areas under stricter forms of community quarantine, but under that proposal, only those establishments whose employees are fully vaccinated can operate. Their services would be limited to fully inoculated customers as well. The DTI hopes the restrictions can be eased to help business owners recover from pandemic-induced losses.
Para lang po sa mga vaccinated workers at vaccinated clients. So ito rin po ay para sa protection din ng mga unvaccinated. Yun po yung gusto natin. Pero dito lamang po sa mga negosyo na nananatiling sarado. Pinopropose pa lamang po ng DTI at pinag-uusapan, pero hindi pa po natin talaga napipiho kung ito po ay mabibigyan ng okay.
The Octor Research Group proposing a three-week hard lockdown on specific COVID-19 hotspots to prevent the further spread of the disease. We'll be talking now to the chairman of the Metro Manila Development Authority, Benhur Abalos. Of course, we're going to talk about his take on this proposal. Chairman, good afternoon to you. Thank you for joining us today.
Good afternoon, Carmina, and all of the viewers. Magandang tanghali.
All right, a three-week hard lockdown for COVID-19 hotspots that's being proposed by the Octor Research Group. Are you agreeable to this?
Well, we have yet to discuss this, Carmina, with the mayors and, of course, with the IADF. Always, we rely on data, both on the health experts and the economic experts. But, Carmina, a hard lockdown should always be the last option. Personally, that's my point of view. Personally, in our country, we've had three lockdowns, ECQ, if you will recall. The first one was last year. The second one was April. And the third one was the recent August 6. But the reason August 6, there's a difference. The difference is that we were vaccinating people because we have a goal to really attain, which is 50% by tomorrow, hopefully, or a few days after that. So that's the main difference. But personally for me, a hard lockdown should always be the last option. Kung talagang grabe na masama na. Yes.
Mm-mm. All right. So, but if that is that last option, is it doable if you just look at certain hotspots?
Well,
and not as, citywide. Go ahead.
As what we are doing right now, it's called granular lockdowns. Yeah. But it's very term granular, it's gray. No? Talaga, it's more microscopic. Mm-hmm. It's more surgical. And, you know, it's better kasi yung healthy population mo makakapagtrabaho eh. No? Personally, for me, it's better that way. And on record, I would like to point out two things, just two things. Number one, the growth rate of the virus, as what has been pointed out in the NCR, it's really going down. No? According to the Department of Health, from 130.72, August 16, right, August 28, it became 56.4%.
Hmm.
And even from OCTA itself, the reproduction rate from August 8 to 14, which is 1.9, no, the virus reproduces. August 27 from 1.9, it's 1.46. And hopefully, of course, the cases will continue on going up.
Yeah.
But it should not be the same increments as before. No, hindi na, sabihin, kung nakanganak man ito, hindi na siya, kung manganak siya, hindi na 9. Hopefully, 5 o 4 na lang. Kung tumataas siya, until it probably it will plateau. So, with this, and another thing I would like to point out right now, I got certain data of how many lockdowns we have in Metro Manila. No? Right now, we've got about...
You're talking about granular lockdowns?
Granular lockdowns. Uh-huh. It's all over. 3,040 households made up of 129 streets, made up of 7 barangays, 19 buildings, 131 units, 3 compounds and others.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this morning even Pasay has 500 households. No? So if you will see, we are only trying to pinpoint by massive testing, and our contact tracing is now 1:18. It's more than the 1:15.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're trying to do, Carmina, is the mayors are trying to do, and the medical frontliners of the NCR is try to pinpoint those areas that are really very infectious, very contagious, where the virus is very aggressive, and just lock down these small areas, households, couple of household, building floors, etc.
And Chairman, you're hopeful that this will finally, you know, nip it in the bud. Because when you talk to experts, and I've talked to two of them recently, they're still saying things are not looking good. In fact, one of them said that if things go unabated, we're talking about a possible mass graves level here. And is that even part of the scenario that you're looking at? And if so, how are you preparing for it, you together with the mayors of the Metro, Chairman?
Well, Carmina, this is what I will tell you. No? Wala nang tulugan ito. The mayors are really doing their best on the ground with the medical frontliners. No? As talagang, ano na eh, talagang mahirap na lang magsalita. Pero halos wala nang tulugan. 7 days a week, halos 24 hours, We're monitoring, we're on the ground always, all of the mayors.
Pero Chairman, ito ho ba ay pinag-uusapan nyo together with the mayors? Napag-usapan nyo na ba ito na we may, if things go unabated, we may look at a mass graves level scenario here?
Actually, Carmina, if you will recall, it was the mayors who said that we must have an ECQ in Metro Manila. This was before. And we were the first one to sound that alarm. And even everyone were against it at that time. Because we already look at that scenario, no? At hindi lang yun. Even the exercise we've disallowed for 2 weeks. Even the minors and the we've been very strict about all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
All of this. But again, we always defer to the medical experts. We always defer to the economic experts. No, if this will really continue, talagang ito, mag-meeting kami on Thursday. It will be tomorrow with the IATF, and we will be apprised here. Mm-hmm. We're just thinking of the best really for our country right now. But okay. What is important right now is that we've got 3,000 plus lockdowns in Metro Manila. We really want to make this work.
Chairman, before the August lockdown, you and I talked, I think, twice within that week before the lockdown was ordered. And you told me on this program that the lockdown was very important because you will do nothing but vaccinate during that two-week period. How would you then explain these numbers?
Well, these numbers...
That the lockdown, Chairman, actually, the vaccination, I should say, the vaccination actually decreased from... For the 15-day ECQ from August 6 to 20, 6.7 million doses were administered for a daily average of 339,575 during the 15-day ECQ period, when previously, Chairman, we were already up to 500,000 administered doses per day. How would you then explain that to us?
Okay. Number one, the first factor is there is the presence of the Delta variant. Everyone was scared to go out. Number two, you've got then during the first few days, the supply issue. But this is what I would like to point out, Carmina. I'll just get the data about vaccination. Okay. Here. We've got 12,338,900 doses given right now. Right now, we've got about 46% has been vaccinated completely with two doses. But what is important to look at, it's not the second dose. Look at the first dose. The first dose is 80.56% of the population of Metro Manila, I repeat, 80.56 has been vaccinated by one dose. That's 7.8 million, almost 7.9 million. Now, it's like this. This 80% will have their second dose. This was taken 3 days ago. If you take it today's September 1, remember our vaccines are Sinovac, Pfizer, Gamaleya, Moderna, J&J, and of course, Astra. The longest there is just AstraZeneca, 3 months.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
So those having Astra, which is about 17% of the whole vaccines, siguro ano sila, mga November, end of November. Kasi September, October, November.
Yeah.
But in one month, I'll just finish this, Carmina. In one month. This is Sinovac, Pfizer, Gamaleya, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, which is end of September. Halos lahat to na bakunahan na ng second dose.
Okay.
So you're looking at 80.56. Tatanggalin mo na sa Astra dyan. More than 70% siguro. Tapos na tayo sa Metro Manila. That's the target. That's what I'm telling you during the ECQ. You have always to look at the first dose and the second dose. Okay.
Would you call the decrease of vaccination during the 2 week ECQ a lost opportunity that you're now just trying to remedy? Because that was the promise then, Chairman. Chairman. All right, I think we lost our connection there with MMDA Chairman Benhur Abalos. Unfortunately, we've run out of time and we can't get him back on the air. But there you go. Chairman, just a final question. Would you call that a lost opportunity, the fact that the vaccination actually decreased rather than increased during the two-week lockdown?
Carmina, it is never a lost opportunity. People will see. Even with the threat of the Delta variant, even with the threat of getting infected, the mayors were there, the medical frontliners were there every day vaccinating people. No, we've tried our best here under the circumstances. So yun ang ginagawa ngayon. But look at the data. The data is halos 80%. Four or five LGUs, 100% tapos na kami. No? So kaya nga, ito lang, this is on the average. We've tried our best here.
All right. And hopefully it's going to be good enough. Thank you so much, Chairman Benhur Abalos there, Chairman of the Metro Manila Development Authority. I'm sure we're going to talk to you again, if not before the end of the week, maybe earlier next week, because you said you're going to have a meeting tomorrow with the mayors?
Yes, tomorrow.
What's foremost of the agenda?
They have yet to give to me the agenda this afternoon, IATF.
Mm, okay. Thank you, Mayor. Take care. Keep safe, Paul. That was MMDA Chairman Benhur Abalos there joining us this afternoon. And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcast. Playback this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on ANC.